Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell, and is it underwater?
Hello there. Before we start the show of SciGuys, I just wanted to let you know and sort of send out a plea to you, or an invitation, depending on how you view it. I spent the last few years of my life directing a movie, and it's called The Drowning of Arthur Braxton, and it is finally out in various places around the world on multiple different platforms. The safest place to find it is, I believe, Amazon Prime. So if you head over to Amazon Prime, just search The Drowning of Arthur Braxton, you can check out my first ever feature film. I think it's really rather lovely. So did Raindance Film Festival, who awarded it Best UK Feature for the year 2021. That was a few months ago, by the way. And I really would love to know what you think about it, and I'd love for you to watch it. So please head over to your Amazon Prime device, search for The Drowning of Arthur Braxton, and watch my film. Thank you very much. Corey has seen the film, by the way, and he said this is perfectly adequate.
It's because I'm in it.
Oh, your voice is in it. So actually, yes, that's even more of an incentive to go watch it. Find Corey's voice in the film.
First person to do it gets free SciGuys for the rest of time.
Ooh. As does everybody else, but yeah.
Welcome to The SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jemp and Luke Cutforth.
Hello.
Hi, howdy.
This week, we're talking about lax laws leading to lousy lungs and vaping viability.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Took me a while to figure out that one. But first, let's go to a little YouTube comment. This one comes from Lord Darius, who commented on our clip talking about the problem with God and creationism. They said, "My twin brother and I didn't do well in Sunday school because we had too many questions. Things like that stifles a child's natural curiosity." That's very nice comment.
And a cat's as well.
And a cat's. Anyone's natural curiosity, really. Oh, cats. Huh? Yeah, curious. Very good.
And George.
Oh, yeah. We're all about curiosity here. And that's why I ask you this question, which if you're listening on Apple and you're not watching on YouTube, go to YouTube right now and answer this in the comments. Do you vape?
We're just curious.
No.
That's why I ask questions. Curious.
I don't vape.
So, vaping is the new smoking in pretty much every sense, right? Of course, the first e-cigarette was made in 2003, and since then, we've seen a massive rise in vaping, with there now being over 450 different vape brands. Their usage is particularly high amongst adolescents, and in 2019, over a quarter of American high schoolers reportedly vaped. Like with cigarettes, vaping has ingrained itself in our culture before scientists have had a chance to determine the long-term potential health risks, or lack thereof. In June 2022, the FDA announced that they intend to ban all Juul products in the US. So, is vaping dangerous for your health?
A bit.
Well, we'll see. You might be surprised, because I definitely was. So, what is vaping, first off?
So, you get a flavored liquid, mm-hmm. and it passes over a coil, I think, which turns it into a vapor, and then you suck it in, and it has usually some nicotine in it and some flavor, and then you breathe it out. And you got your nicotine hit, and you feel like you look cool,
yeah.
Maybe.
Get lots of fun flavors.
From the National Institute on Drug Abuse, it says, vaping devices are battery-operated devices that people use to inhale an aerosol, which typically contains nicotine, although not always, flavorings, and other chemicals. You gotta love an other chemicals.
Ooh.
Doesn't mean anything, but it means literally almost anything.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly. So they can be single-use or refillable, and they can look like more or less anything from normal cigarettes, which I think are called, what are they called? Cigalikes? Cigalikes?
Yeah. E-cigarettes.
Like, as in lookalikes.
Cigalikes.
Oh.
Says it on the NHS and the National Institute for Drug Abuse, which there's like two different countries. Yeah, cigalikes, like a lookalike. Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard that in my life.
They could also look like, you know, USB pens or AirPod cases with like little nipples on. Those were big in the US. No, like an AirPod case,
yeah.
And it's got a little to suck from.
Oh, yes, you know. I have seen those.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little. I hate them so much. I just hate everything about the way those little ones look. But how do vapes work? Look, you kind of already covered it. So most e-cigarettes have four different components, and this is all from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. They have a cartridge or a reservoir pod which has a liquid solution in it, an e-liquid or e-juice, a lot of people call it vape juice, you'll hear that pretty often, containing varying amounts of nicotine, flavorings, and other chemicals.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, other chemicals isn't a scary thing necessarily, you know, like other chemicals. Air consists of carbon dioxide, oxygen, and other chemicals.
Whoa.
It's fine though, it's air.
Yeah.
See, although we're taking in London, so small.
Some of
those other chemicals are not. So they also have a heating element, which is called an atomizer. The coil that you were talking about there, Luke. A power source, which usually they have a battery, obviously. Because they're
good. Wind up e-cigs.
Twist for like 30 minutes to get one.
And then also a mouthpiece that you use to inhale. And so most e-cigarettes, like tons of them, tons of vapes, have a like sort of you puff it, like when you inhale on it, that activates the battery, which then activates the heating device, which then vaporizes, as you said, look, the liquid that's in the cartridge, and then you inhale that aerosol or vapor, and then you breathe out. And that's what vaping is. And you know, you breathe it in, it hits your brain or whatever, it makes you feel however it makes you feel, and you taste good, and it's great. Yeah,
sure. Fun activity.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of vaping, to be perfectly honest. We'll see why in a bit. But essentially, vapes just heat up a liquid filled with some stuff, usually nicotine and flavorings, and turn it into a vapor that you can inhale. But what happens once it's in your body?
Goes into your lungs.
Yeah.
Enters your bloodstream, some of it.
Ooh.
Whoa. Those other chemicals.
So the nicotine, and this is from the National Institute of Drug Abuse again, it says that nicotine in e-liquids is readily absorbed from the lungs into the bloodstream when a person vapes an e-cigarette. Upon entering the blood, nicotine stimulates the adrenal glands to release the hormone epinephrine. Adrenaline. Epinephrine stimulates the central nervous system and increases blood pressure, breathing, and heart rate. As with most addictive substances, nicotine activates the brain's reward circuits and also increases levels of a chemical messenger in the brain called dopamine. Ooh. Which reinforces rewarding behaviors. Pleasure caused by nicotine's interaction with the reward circuit motivates some people to use nicotine again and again, despite risks to their health and well-being. Thank you very much, Institute. National Institute of Drug Abuse. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that
little quote we just stole from you. But let's look a little bit more into nicotine, since it's often not very well understood. So what is nicotine? What is it?
I don't actually know. It's just the big bad word I grew up with learning about cigarettes.
Yeah, what is that?
It's addictive.
Yeah, that's probably the worst part of nicotine, to be honest. But it's an interesting one. So nicotine is an organic compound. You find it in like a number of plants like tomatoes, potatoes, aubergines. It's usually most commonly associated with tobacco, though, because it's the principal alkaloid of tobacco. Tobacco. An alkaloid is just a group of nitrogenous organic compounds, so compounds that are made of carbon and nitrogen and some other stuff, some other chemicals.
Ooh. Whoa! No, they're everywhere.
No, some other elements. Some other elements before someone gets them. Yeah. So basically, an alkaloid is just a carbon compound with some nitrogen and some other stuff in there too that are found in plants and have a marked physiological effect on humans. So if a plant makes something that's made of carbon with some nitrogen and stuff, and it makes you feel a different way or it does something to you, that's an alkaloid. There you go. Pretty simple.
Very good.
So tobacco is the highest concentration of nicotine of any known plant, just the highest of anyone we know, which makes sense. And so why do you think, though, plants make nicotine?
Now, I think I remember reading somewhere that, like, nicotine, if an insect eats a plant, say, that has nicotine in, that actually puts the insect off going and eating that again.
Yeah.
And then it just has a different effect in us, which is an addictive and sort of stimulatory effect.
Well, yeah, I think that, as far as I'm aware, nicotine can be toxic, obviously, in high doses. And we are quite big. Bugs are not big.
Not big.
They're very little. So when they eat some plant, they get lots of nicotine.
But they would also eat less because they are small.
Yeah. That's very true.
Bug eat amount of nicotine that I could eat. Bug get big and die.
Even though they eat a smaller amount, I think still probably proportionally they're having quite a lot. So they have the nicotine, and I think it usually kind of acts as an insecticide. At the very least, it makes bugs and other sort of smaller predators of plants not want to eat those plants.
Yes.
It's a protective thing, essentially. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to protect the plants from outside attackers or things that will eat them. So it's usually found, I say usually is found, it is found throughout the plant, but it's especially concentrated in the leaves. I'll give you one guess which part we smoke.
I smoke the whole aubergine, personally.
wrap it up in a big gigantic paper. That's what a cigar is, right? It's just an aubergine wrapped up in tobacco
just
rolling
really,
paper.
A really thin aubergine.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Hark the ad bell, he does sing.
He sings for Patreon, I think. If you head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys, you can get a whole host of cool things. What can they get, Luke?
Oh, blimmin' heck. They can get so many things. There's bonus episodes. You can request topics for episodes. There's an entire other show called After Dark where we discuss sort of philosophical things and just general discussion, the kind of stuff that you imagine we talk about after we've finished recording. Well, that is when we do it, so that is what we do. And lots of other stuff. What else is there?
You get your name at the end of every single SciGuys episode. You can also vote on topics. You get to choose what we do. And at the end of the episode that's voted on by our patrons, if it's your first month being a patron, you get thanked by name. By us, the SciGuys. Isn't that fun?
That is really fun. I'll use my vocal cords to say your name with a 50% probability because Corey says half of them.
That's very true. So head to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys. So the nicotine is about 5% of the plant by weight. Yeah, right. There's a, a lot of nicotine in a tobacco plant. In its pure state, it's colorless, it's odorless, and it's a liquid, but it has an oily consistency. And it also gives off, it smells a lot of tobacco, right? So nicotine,
Does it nicotine smell of tobacco, or does
just
tobacco smell of nicotine?
I think tobacco probably smells of nicotine, right? Nicotine's chemical formula, if you want to know, is C10H14N2. It means that it's got 10 carbon atoms, 14 hydrogen atoms, and 2 nitrogen atoms in some arrangement, you know, all attached to each other.
Very good.
And the tobacco plant, Nicotiana tobacum, and the compound, tobacco, are both named after Jean Nicot, a French ambassador to Portugal who sent tobacco seeds to Paris in 1550, and that is from Britannica. So thank you, Britannica, for including that tidbit.
Wow, you're really thanking your sources this episode, Corey.
But I gotta thank the sources. I gotta thank the sources, especially when I read out exactly what they say. Otherwise, it's plagiarism.
Shout out to Britannica.
By 1571, we had crude nicotine, and then they managed to purify it. It took them a while. They managed to purify it in 1828. So, you know, after a couple hundred years, we finally cracked purifying nicotine from tobacco.
And what did we do? Did we, like, spray it on stuff to make it addictive?
We literally smoke it.
Nicotine?
In cigarettes, yeah. That's what...
But you smoke tobacco. You don't smoke nicotine.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, but then you can, like, you can also put the nicotine in other things, like, yeah, you know, vaping and vapes and stuff.
But what did we do with it all that time ago when we purified it? Oh, we weren't making vapes.
Not necessarily purifying it to, like, make some. You want to purify something to get the chemical if you want to work with it or test it or whatever.
Right, for science.
But then for science, yeah. And then also you might want to put it in products, but I don't know specifically what they were doing with this nicotine 170 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought it might be the kind of thing that, like, stick on something to make it addictive, just because.
To be honest, they probably put it in, like, I don't know, baby food or something. Like, that's what they would do back then, right?
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, let's get your babies addicted to this one. You know, they had, like, cocaine and Coca-Cola at one point, so, like, whatever. Then we managed to figure out the molecular formula in 1843, and then we synthesized it in a lab for the first time in 1904, or at least it was reported in 1904.
Wow.
Yeah, right? And according to Britannica again, in its psychoactive effects, nicotine is a unique substance with a biphasic effect. When inhaled in short puffs, it has a stimulant effect, but when smoked in deep drags, it can have a tranquilizing effect. This is why smoking can feel invigorating at some times and can seem to block stressful stimuli at others. Nicotine is also an addictive drug, though, and smokers characteristically display a strong tendency to relapse after having successfully stopped smoking for a time.
Oh.
When ingested in larger doses, nicotine is a highly toxic poison that causes vomiting and nausea, headaches, stomach pains, and in severe cases, convulsions, paralysis, and death.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said there about it can be, like, snorted in small amounts. There's a program on Netflix I watched recently where it was talking about, did you say snorted?
Inhaled.
So there's a program on Netflix I watched called How to Change Your Mind, which is about all these different drugs and how what they do and how they're being researched and stuff. And one of the things it shows is the presenter, I think it's Michael Pollan, having a bunch of ground up tobacco and snorting it and essentially having like a tripping experience, like a drug fueled experience. And him being like, isn't it weird that this is one of the most like one of the biggest industries in America? It's perfectly legal, but you can crush it up and snort it and it's a psychedelic.
Yeah, I knew someone that this is gonna sound silly. I knew someone who's shaman.
Yeah.
Blue.
We've all got one.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're a shaman. Look, this person lives in LA, so the fact that they've got a shaman was not surprising to me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's going to sound silly because I don't seem like the kind of person who, you know
someone with a shaman.
Yeah, who's acquainted with someone who has a shaman. Yeah, yeah. I know people from LA. It makes sense. So their shaman apparently blew, I think. They said it was like just really concentrated, I think, tobacco or nicotine,
yeah,
like up their nose, which, yeah, apparently has like some weird kind of effect. I have no idea what happened, to be honest. They just blew something up their nose and then they were acting funny for a bit. I wasn't interested in having a shaman blow anything up my nose, so I didn't ask too many questions, you know. But apparently, yeah, you can use it in a lot of different ways other than smoking or chewing, which are the ways that we can, you know, are the most common ways that we would usually think about it.
On chewing tobacco, mm-hmm. I think this might have been repealed now, but until like only a few years ago, there was an unlimited supply of chewing tobacco in the House of Commons still. And it was part of the budget. And someone did like a freedom information request to find out what the government was spending on chewing tobacco. And it was like £1 a year because no one ever used it. But there was a box there. If you wanted it, it still existed. And it still had, it was in law, I think, at one point.
And
they just repealed it, I think, or they might have just stopped doing it. We can look it up.
Now you're talking about the parliamentary snuff box, which is a wooden box at the door of the House of Commons where snuff is stored for use by members of parliament. It originated in 1694 when smoking was banned in the House of Commons.
There you go. Got to get your tobacco somehow. Get yourself a snuff box.
Oh my God. I do love the concept that all of the stuff that our politicians do, they somehow manage to find the time to make sure that they get a wooden snuff box.
Yeah.
At the door to their work, because if they don't get that, oh boy, are they going to go nuts.
Imagine if they have sweeping drug reform and then they'll just request a cocaine box at the entrance to the House of Commons.
That's more likely.
Luke, I'm surprised that you don't think there isn't already a cocaine box somewhere hidden in the House of Commons.
Not one that can be discovered by a freedom of information request.
Well, you know, Boris Johnson can probably sniff it out, right?
He can't. He's got too much coke up there. Doesn't work anymore.
Now, if you're watching this and wondering why we're joking about our politicians doing so many drugs, it's because they do that.
Yeah, there was an investigation in our the head of our government that found cocaine traces on every toilet in the House of Commons, I believe, including the one right next to Boris Johnson's office.
Oh my God.
Is it not easy to find cocaine traces in a lot of places, though?
I would assume it's easy to find cocaine traces everywhere where there's been cocaine. And the House of Commons is one of those places, apparently.
No, sorry. Do you know what I was thinking of?
I was thinking
banknotes. Money. Yeah. That's it. Money.
Yeah.
No. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Most toilets are cleaned every day. And so...
Oh, my God.
You know, like, them having cocaine traces on means that I would imagine cocaine's going on in there most...
Quite frequently.
Yes, including the toilet most near Boris Johnson's office, our Prime Minister. Yeah. Who is famous for having done cocaine, I believe. So
having know. Done, yeah, yeah.
Having done.
That's why he's famous. Doing. That's why he's famous, right?
Yeah, well, that and numerous other horrible things. But I think the cocaine use is probably up there with one of the least bad things that he's done.
Sure.
And I just want to be clear here. The issue that I have, at least, and I'm sure the rest of us have, with our politicians using drugs is not the fact that they are using drugs.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
It's a hypocrisy.
Use a drug. I don't mind. It's your body, your choice. Use that drug.
Have fun, darling.
Just maybe don't make sure you uphold laws that send people to jail and destroy lives for doing the same stuff that you do for fun at work. I don't know.
That's, at work.
Yeah,
well.
No, at work.
So what are you doing at home?
Just hauling out the DMT, the ayahuasca, right? Cocaine at work, psychedelics at home.
That's God's way.
That is quite literally how the marketing industry still runs.
Surely the marketing industry is not taking psychedelics. They'd be way too introspective and they quit their jobs.
Oh, God. So back to nicotine. What are the effects of using nicotine?
Like you said, blood vessels tighteny.
Yeah, so usually if you try it for the first time, you'll feel dizzy and nauseous.
Yeah.
But after you're more used to it, you know, and usually when you're consuming nicotine, it'll be through smoking. Although with teens now, that might not be the case. But, you know, the first time you have it, you're going to feel a little bit like woozy or whatever. And then you'll get used to it and you can use it to relax or you can use it as a stimulant. I feel like often, though, people that use it to relax feel stressed out because they're craving a cigarette.
That's what I assumed.
And feeding the craving relaxes you rather than the actual drug interacting with your system
probably
itself.
Probably a little bit of both. But
Probably. But if you're really itching for something, then you get it. You're like,
ugh. And I also think there's a certain amount of like ritual of like, you know, you're taking time, you're not doing anything else necessarily. You know, things that you could get from other things like meditating or just having a moment on your own. But you know.
No, that was like, you know, you're saying that taking a break and not doing anything. That reminds me of smoke breaks when I had work.
Yes, I know.
And those were the most, like, smokers just get to have a break every, what, like hour? Like they could go and have a 5-minute break every hour if they want. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah. What's that all about? Why can't I take a break without taking up smoking?
You should get 1/20th more pay.
Right, exactly. Absolutely should. But, you know, speaking of the ritual thing, look, that's interesting because a lot of people or a few people I know that have tried to quit smoking found that just using, like, putting something in their mouth to, like, sort of simulate the cigarette helped a lot. Because, like, it's, like you're saying, ritual is a huge part of it. So if you're just standing around, you know, with, like, even, like, a pencil, you know, something cigarette-like in your mouth, you might feel a little bit better just because it's part of the ritual, you know?
Trick yourself.
That's nice.
So nicotine can also, you know, also cause increases in heart rate and blood pressure, acute increases in heart rate and blood pressure. So while using it, it can increase your heart rate and blood pressure. It can improve mood and concentration. Those are reported effects of using it, apparently. And I think, bear in mind, this is from the, what is it, Tobacco... American and British and American Tobacco, this is from.
Oh, yeah. So they would be a reputable source, wouldn't they?
Actually, the thing about that is I went to British and American Tobacco because I'd gone to the UK sources and the American sources and they were giving kind of a different picture. And this came up and I thought, huh, this is interesting. This seems to kind of match with what other people are saying. There is not too much of sort of, you know, twisting things, which is really not what I would have expected from British and American Tobacco. Also, like, on this page, they said that it's linked to adverse outcomes in pregnancy, so you should consult with your doctor before using any nicotine product during pregnancy. It's, I don't know, it's just interesting that, like, you know, looking at British and American Tobacco, they were pretty straightforward and solid on what it was.
Okay, so I have a conspiracy theory about this. Okay, so, a little bit of backstory. I once did a documentary about smoking. And that was being funded by a broadcaster. And I was like, well, great, I really like this broadcaster. I wanted to work with them. And so we signed on to do it. And in that process, it turned out that that broadcaster was having several projects funded by tobacco companies in order that whatever their reasons are, I don't know. But this tobacco company was funding documentaries about quitting smoking. And my sort of conspiracy theory about that was that basically they know the lawsuits are coming. They know that they knew that this was bad for your health for a very long time without reporting it on it and particularly lying about it. And they're cleaning the heck out of their act now so that they can at least show, well, for the last 10 years, we have funded documentaries about quitting smoking. So I was like, oh god, am I going to be part of getting big tobacco off the hook? And so what I did about that, which was really funny, was whilst during the negotiations I had said my one red line is that you guys don't get any creative input, and so I spent the entirety of the first episode talking about how this specific tobacco company had lied to Congress for 20 years.
Jesus.
And they were like, could you maybe take that bit out or turn it down? And I was like, no.
Luke, king, absolute king. Oh my god, is that video still available?
Okay, now what's really annoying is I was trying to download it in order to put it in my showreel, and I accidentally deleted episode 1. because the delete button and the download button.
Oh, they're right next to each other. Yeah, they are right next to each other.
And I wasn't paying attention. I still have it, so I can re-upload it and find it and whatever. That's fine. Episodes 2 and 3 are still up, but episode 1 I accidentally deleted, which I'm really annoyed about. Oh, but no. I do have it saved on my hard drive.
Are you allowed to post it wherever you want?
Maybe, yeah.
For example, to our Patreon.
Yeah, I can post it to our Patreon.
I'll post it to our Patreon for people to watch.
Sure. Am I reading your talk about this publicly? I suppose I am. That's fine.
Saga's exclusive now.
I was just like, yeah, you're not having any creative control because they're making a thing about quitting smoking, and I found out who he's funding this. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, right, well, let's spend a load of time doing the history of how all these companies lied to Congress for flipping 20 years.
Look, Matt, that is so cool. That, I think, is the coolest thing you have ever done. That's amazing.
And
I love that.
Paid for it.
That is just like, you absolutely cucked them. Like, them, yeah. So... Like, the fact that you went into this knowing, okay, yeah, no creative control, and the fact that they agreed to it, because they're like, oh, what's he going to do? We want him to be anti-smoking. Sure, we'll say no creative control. Yeah.
They also asked me to bump up a bit more on, like, well, vaping's a good alternative. And I was like, no, I'm not going to... Vaping is better than smoking, but I'm not going to say vaping is better than not doing anything.
It's a good alternative.
Because I don't think it is. Yeah. And so, and that company, coincidentally, has now moved heavily towards vape products. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing an ad for you. I'm doing a documentary about quitting smoking. So.
Yeah, it is really difficult. I'm going to talk a bit more on this in a little bit. But it's really difficult to find good information on this because there is bias just everywhere. The least biased sort of sources I could find, or the ones that seem the least biased, seem to be British ones, and I'll speak more on that in a little bit. But this has been really, really difficult to research. I thought it'd be so straightforward, cut and dry, mwah, boom, done. I was trawling the internet for so long, just trying to find information that corroborated with other information and things that agreed with other things that I'd found. And there's just so much conflicting stuff out there. Because there is so much bias. I mean, like, I was reading American sources first, like the National Institute of Drug Abuse, like NIDA, as I've mentioned. And then I looked at the NHS and I realized I can't use some of this stuff that I've already, like, sort of written down from the NIDA because it doesn't match the NHS. And personally, I trust the NHS far, when it comes to drugs, far, far more than I trust any sort of, I mean, American adjacent. Look, America is just not good when it comes to drugs. They're very anti-drug, but not in a let's give you information way, in a let's just say every single drug will kill you.
Yeah. NHS is particularly good at just presenting the health stuff and staying out of the politics stuff.
Yeah. I mean, even when you look at, we've spoken about this a lot, but when you look at stuff about trans stuff on the NHS, you know, the NHS pages explain things relatively well. They're not perfect, bear in mind, but they are pretty decent as far as a national health service goes in a country that is so, so vile and vitriolic towards trans people, right? Yep. You know, it's the NHS is far better than one would expect looking at the rest of the UK. So from what I found, nicotine itself doesn't seem to be majorly harmful, but it is incredibly addictive and not entirely risk-free. Like, if you want to think about this, what we usually hear is that, you know, smoking is really bad for you, nicotine is bad, smoking causes this, that, but one of the worst things about smoking is all of the stuff in the cigarettes. Like, they add there's so many horrible, horrible chemicals.
Well, and also just the burning of tobacco makes tar. It's not even added. It's just the burning process.
The tar is real bad for you. Yeah. This is what's really interesting, though, because, like, obviously, smoking, you shouldn't smoke anything, right? You just shouldn't smoke anything at all. But, like, smoking cigarettes is so, 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 so incredibly bad for you. Mm. And the only reason anyone does it, it's because there's nicotine in there and they associate that feeling with the nicotine and their body's like, I want nicotine. And so they just smoke away again. Like, imagine there was no nicotine, like a nicotine-free cigarette. And you would just give it to someone who'd never smoked before. They'd smoke it and they'd be like, what the hell is this? You're like, okay, no. How about this? You got to smoke one a day for the next week or the next 2 weeks, right? By the end of that 2 weeks, they would never want to touch it again because it's like, it's just not... It's like empty.
Yeah, a fun like Russian roulette game if you're trying to quit smoking, where you've got, say you smoke 10 a day, you do your 10 a day, but one of them is a nicotine-free cigarette. Mm-hmm. And then two, on the second day, two is a nicotine-free cigarette. And then three is a nicotine-free cigarette.
But by the time, you probably wouldn't even recognize that they're nicotine-free because you're like so used to the, you know, the ritual of smoking. You know what I mean? In terms of like, if you give someone a caffeine-free coffee, placebo effect, they might even, you know what I mean, they might start feeling as though they've actually had coffee.
Humans are so silly.
Yeah, I know, really weird, right?
Ooh, I feel jittery.
Haha, you fool.
So bringing it back to vaping, this is from the UK Health Security Agency. I want to talk a little bit about regulation when it comes to vaping. So, as I've said, this is from them. The UK has some of the strictest regulation for e-cigarettes in the world. Under the Tobacco and Related Products Regulations of 2016, e-cigarette products are subject to minimum standards of quality and safety, as well as packaging and labelling requirements to provide consumers with the information they need to make informed choices. All products must be notified by manufacturers to the UK Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, MHRA, with detailed information including the listing of all ingredients. We pretty tightly control, as far as I'm aware, as far as I've read. We seem to pretty tightly control what goes into vapes. So vapes in the UK are potentially safer than elsewhere, potentially, just because we're so very like, what is in these? Let's be very cautious about this. Mm. I don't know, like, obviously this information that I found is from British sources, so it's very hard to tell whether that actually translates to, you know...
The UK is the sexiest country in the world.
The UK has the strictest regulations on being sexy. Everyone in the UK must pass a sexy requirement. You know what I mean? So it's very hard to tell what the actual outcomes of that are. But, you know, we do have regulation. When you think about it as well, we're not allowed to smoke inside. You're not allowed to smoke in the car with a child. You can't display or advertise sort of cigarettes in a store, in a shop. You can't advertise smoking on the TV, anywhere really. You can't have anything on the packaging. The packaging has to have, like, oh, can you not have anything on the packaging?
Like, it has to be boring, dull colours.
Yeah.
And it can't be shiny anymore. Because it used to be like the cigarettes I smoked when I was a depressed, angsty teen were like B&H silver, and they were like so shiny and really pretty packaging. You can't have that anymore.
This is the thing. A lot of people watching this will, or listening to this, you know, a lot of Sci Guys listeners and viewers probably will not have seen what cigarette packets used to look like.
Oh yeah, it was insane. It was like a disco party on the
so
shelf.
So much fun. You want them. I can still picture them in my head and I'm like, man, I kind of want that. It looks cool. And then they introduced that you had to have horrible, horrible pictures of like the potential outcomes of smoking.
Decomposing teeth and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like someone with like a hole in their neck and like lungs like turned black and stuff. It's just, it's one way. It's very, very...
But it was for a while. It was that next to the disco party shiny material.
Well, yeah. So they could still have their like cool, fun designs on it, but they had to slap just an image. And it says like smoking kills and stuff on it. But it's like, it's so addictive that you could see that and you're just like, huh. I don't care. Like,
I just want to look at it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
you filter out after a while.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, apparently we've got strict regulations on vapes. I don't know how much that translates into the you know, increased safety of vapes in the UK. But moving on to vaping in teens, because vapes are the most common form of nicotine for youths in the United States. So there are a few factors that could sort of influence this. There's the idea that it's safer than smoking, which cigarette companies clearly
they
want.
Love that.
Yeah, they want you to know. They want you to think that.
Yeah.
You know, and I say think that. As far as we're aware, vaping is safer than smoking. I'm not saying that vaping isn't safer than smoking, but they really, really want to hammer that into you because they can still make money off of you that way. Mm-hmm. You know
it's
what I mean?
Essentially like a subscription service. Like it's a subscription service to not feel sad and angry and grumpy for like that short period of time where you need the nicotine withdrawal, like when it really hits the most. It's really quite sad that that's the business model when there's no, you know, there's some arguable things for smoking, like you say, like it might increase alertness and things like that, but that's not why anyone's doing it, and it's not why they sell it.
Well, if that was the case, just chew tobacco. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there are other ways of consuming it. Or if that was the case, a nicotine patch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to be alert. Slap a nicotine patch on. No, they're addicted to smoking.
Yeah.
And not just the nicotine, they're addicted to smoking as well. You know what I mean? That's why it's really, really hard to stop smoking, because you start to associate that hit with the actual smoking itself. Mm. Because if you think about it, otherwise, you could just slap on a bunch of nicotine patches and be like, okay, good. I'm going on with my day. You know? Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's probably a difference in how it like hits your body. But, I mean, still, right? Like, you could conceivably pretty easily switch out smoking for something else if it wasn't smoking that you were also getting addicted to.
Have you been getting those adverts on YouTube recently for like, it's like a nicotine thing you have in your mouth, and then like it's like a board meeting, and they're like, so that, and that's the end of the board meeting, and then someone goes, any more questions? And the other guy goes, yes, have you had that nicotine patch in your mouth all this time? And he's like, yes, I have. Wee, wee, wee. And then, no, you've not got
no,
this.
I've not.
No,
I think it's right. Me. I have all my ad personalizations turned off, so I get the most obscure ads for like things that nobody's trying to target to anybody. They're just sticking it on random people.
Yeah, there's so many weird things with like when I was a teenager. Have you heard of Snooze?
No.
Mm?
Oh God, this is so dumb. This is back in high school where doing drugs was edgy and cool, and so people would get their hands on things that weren't like illegal drugs, but they would act as though they were super illegal. So, you know, let's say you get your hands on a cigarette and you're acting as though it's marijuana.
Yeah.
In this case, Snooze, I don't know whether it's legal in the UK. It probably is. It's a concentrated tobacco sort of product, and you hit it in your lip.
Oh yeah.
And
this is big in Norway.
Seeps. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that when we were teenagers. I have no idea why, but like,
because you wanted to increase alertness to be better learning at school, didn't you, Corey?
Look, I have no clue. Like, I wasn't even really drinking then either. Like,
kids are so weird. They're just like little people are just so like.
Everyone else is doing it.
I'll
do it.
Oh yeah. Man, this is why we as influencers got to be super careful about what we promote, because some people following us are super like
impressionable.
That's what I'm saying. I did all these things. That was stupid. Like I remember one year
me and Connie did a sponsorship with Chupa Chups.
I recall.
And I was like, that was fun. I made a fun song with Connie. And then the next year at Summer in the City and Comic Con and stuff, flipping everybody had Chupa Chups. All these kids were coming to meet us and they all
the
had Chupa Chups.
Ones,
and I was like, oh, whoa, it worked. Yeah, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. The sugar free ones.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Jesus, look, you know what those do to people.
Okay, let's cut this.
No. Explain. Explain what the sugar-free Chupa Chups do to people.
No, I don't want to do this, Corey. What do the sugar-free ones do to people?
You know exactly what the sugar-free ones do. If you have like 5 of them.
What, do they make you shit yourself?
Yes, they're like super strong laxatives. You guys don't know this?
I did not know this.
I knew this when I went to Comic-Con with you, Luke, and you knew it.
Did I?
Yes, because you told me after I'd had like 4 or 5. So, other factors that contribute probably to teen smoking, and I'm not saying that this is coming from studies or whatever, this is coming from the NIDA, who we already know we don't trust too much when it comes to this, because they're going to catastrophize and exaggerate things to make teens scared of smoking and vaping. That's not to say that teens should smoke or vape, but there's a difference between giving people the information and saying you should not do this and exaggerating the information and cherry picking to say you should not do this, all the
drug education we got at school.
Don't do it. But then, okay, look, this is what bothers me about drug education, where it's like, don't do drugs, drugs will kill you, drugs are bad, because at some point one of those kids is going to try a drug.
And then it's going to tell everyone
else. And
they're
not going to die. And when you try a drug and you don't die, you're going to tell your friends, hey, I tried this drug and I didn't die. And then some of them are going to try it. And then they're going to think, hey, well, if they're lying about marijuana killing me,
are they lying about
heroin too?
That's a bit of a leap. But
there's other stuff in between. Other stuff in between.
It fosters this kind of feeling of like distrusting of authority, because you trust things as a child, you trust things so implicitly, you just absorb information from authority figures, and then if it turns out half that information was like rubbish, or in the case of you and me getting really frustrated when it turns out half the stuff is like oversimplified and also false, but it was helpful to help you pass exams, but ultimately it's not true, you're like, what's the point of all of this stuff then? I just don't trust anything anymore.
Look, I mean, the same goes for abstinence only sex education. I honestly kind of fully believe that if you try to control someone's behavior through fear-mongering and, you know, exaggerating the truth and cherry-picking data, you are just guaranteeing that people are going to do exactly what you don't want them to do.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you find out that someone has lied to you about, you know, one thing, you're going to start questioning whether they've lied to you about everything else as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start getting into trouble because you don't have the education to know what is safe and what isn't and how things can be done safely and all of that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that people should go out and do drugs, but I'm just saying that, like, telling kids that they're going to kill them, it's not going to work because realistically, marijuana doesn't kill you. So if someone tries it, they're going to think, well, I'm sure that all these other things, cocaine is safe. I'm going to think, they're going to think that, you know, like, I cannot think of another drug. MDMA is safe. And there are, like, when you compare marijuana to these other drugs, there are a lot more dangers with those other ones.
Yeah.
And so if you take the same attitude that someone might take to marijuana, to cocaine or MDMA or something, you're going to end up with someone that is potentially dead, right? Like, it's just the worst way forward. But back to what the NIDA says about why teens might be vaping. I think these all seem to make a fair degree of sense. So they think that it's safer. There are lots of different flavors available, which makes it more enjoyable. There's a lot of advertising for vaping in the US. They're easier to hide as well. They don't smell as bad and they can look innocuous and there's no need for lighters. There's no other paraphernalia for them. I mean, you could pass them off as like a thumb drive, like a flash drive,
or like a battery charger or something.
Exactly. Yeah. No, they can look like almost anything, and they're very, very easy to, like, you know, very, very easy to hide. Even like the vape juice itself is easy to hide. I just realized this is kind of unrelated. I just remembered when I was working, and there were people walking around on. Oh my god, this is unbelievable! I can't believe this was illegal. There were people walking around on the streets. I think it was Juul or another like sort of single use vape pen. They were just handing them out for free.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Single use vape pens. They were handing out for free.
Yeah,
to get you addicted.
That's literally what drug dealers do.
Or just to try.
I've seen. I think Blue doing
Blue.
That
was it. It was Blue. Yeah. It was Blue. I got a Blue vape given to me for free. Like a tobacco vape, you vape it and it gets you addicted to the nicotine. That is unbelievable. Jeez. It should be illegal, right?
Yes. I feel like that should be illegal.
I mean, it's literally, it's like the classic joke of what drug dealers do.
You want to get addicted to this?
Yeah, you give them the first one for free and then they'll be coming back to you. Yeah. Exactly. So those are some of the reasons that might influence teenagers having, you know, a higher sort of usage of vapes. It's also worth noting that according to the NIDA, that some research has found that many teenagers don't know that vapes contain nicotine. They think it's just flavoring. Now, when we see the term some research and many, we should have alarm bells ringing in our heads because those words don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Some has basically no meaning. Some could be three studies up to, you know,
hundreds.
any number of studies. And many could, like, it's, what does many mean? Many doesn't mean most. Many doesn't mean, what does it mean? You know, the NIDA tends to use words that are kind of a bit wishy-washy, and they do have references to studies, but they also seem to, in my view, they seem to cherry pick some data to agree that agrees with them and ignore other stuff. So I don't know if I trust this all that much, but we do know that teenagers vape a lot. As I said, it's the most common form of nicotine for youths in the US. And it's not to say that vaping leads directly to regular tobacco use. There could be other factors linked to both that result in the observation that vaping leads to sort of tobacco use. So, I mean, the NIDA kind of says that it might be an issue because there's a higher likelihood of teens taking up smoking if they already vape, which is seen in a few studies. Now, if this is anything similar to, you know, how smoking can lead to marijuana use, or marijuana can lead to, or rather, sorry, how marijuana can lead to sort of further drug use, the issue with that is that it doesn't necessarily indicate that using marijuana leads to, you know, using other things.
Yeah.
Because there could be factors that increase your likelihood to use marijuana, and those factors also increase your likelihood to use these other things as well. You know, I mean, let's say if you're depressed or whatever, you have a high propensity towards addiction. So it could be the same thing here, likely is the same thing here. But regardless, vaping is not really a great thing to start doing out of nowhere because you're just getting yourself addicted to nicotine for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell how reliable all of this is because usually I could go to a source like this and be pretty confident that what the information I'm getting is, you know, is pretty well balanced and fairly factual. Nah, no idea. They were saying that nicotine was dangerous because it can mess up kids' brains, reward centers, and make them more prone to addiction. throughout their lives, which may be the case, but I couldn't find many British sources touting that fact. Most of the ones that were talking about that fact were American. And it's just very hard to parse what is sort of fear-mongering and what is factual, you know? Moving on, though, are vapes bad for you?
Well, the main thing I've heard about in this regard is I've heard that vapes are potentially more dangerous or worse for you depending on the voltage that's being passed across the coil that's heating the element or whatever the structure is. They're basically hotter is potentially worse. And if you're having things at a low voltage, that's slightly safer.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that would make like bigger, like much beefier vapes significantly more dangerous than like a little baby.
Oh, that's it. I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm not really sure. I didn't find much on that myself. What I did find is that they often talk about vaping being a safer alternative to smoking, and that many people that vape do so to wean themselves off of cigarette use. But remember, it's just the nicotine in cigarettes that you're addicted to. So making the switch from smoking to vaping is still give you the nicotine that your body is craving. And it's also still similar to that sort of ritual. So it's quite an easy switch to make, relatively speaking. But, you know, this is another quote from the NIDA. Additionally, a study of adult smokers in Europe found that those who vaped nicotine were less likely to have stopped smoking than those who did not. So what they're saying there is that there was a study in Europe that essentially found that if you were vaping nicotine, you were not likely to stop smoking. And that's probably because you haven't really got on top of your nicotine addiction.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've just switched it to something else.
Right. You haven't really stopped smoking. You're still doing the ritual. You're still getting the nicotine. So it's kind of basically smoking.
However, according to the NHS, many thousands of people in the UK have already stopped smoking with the help of an e-cigarette, and there's growing evidence that they can be effective. Using an e-cigarette can help you manage your nicotine cravings to get the best out of it. Make sure you're using it as much as you need to and with the right strength of nicotine in your e-liquid. A major UK clinical trial published in 2019 found that when combined with expert face-to-face support, people who used e-cigarettes to quit smoking were twice as likely to succeed as people who used other nicotine replacement products such as patches or gum. You will not get the full benefit from vaping unless you stop smoking cigarettes completely. You can get advice from a specialist vape shop or your local stop smoking service.
Yeah, the NHS have a really good service called Smoke Free, which does face-to-face stuff. And also, I think it might give you vapes. I'm not totally sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, think about it this way, right? I feel like it makes sense for the NHS to put money into stopping people from smoking.
Yeah.
Because stopping people from smoking means that they save money.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, there's less of an incentive to do that because the more people that are ill and use, you know, insurance companies, the more money the hospitals will make.
Yes.
I don't know quite how the economics
is. Is that not how it works?
Well, the thing is that if somebody gets ill, you've got money that's transferring from the insurance companies to the medical industry.
Yeah.
Now, often there's some crossover between those two things. I don't know what the specific... it's possible that, for example, there's some specific incentive there for the government. Say they may get VAT tax receipts on the purchase of insurance, and then they may get VAT tax receipts on the purchase of a medical procedure. I don't know what the specific VAT setup is.
I'm talking about the hospitals themselves.
The hospitals are incentivized for people... they're incentivized for people to become ill from smoking.
Yeah.
Yes. In a very
in the broadest of
in
broad
the broadest
sense.
Way, yeah, yeah. But yes, I'm not saying more patients and therefore more money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that hospitals want you to in America want you to smoke. I'm just saying it's interesting that the difference between a National Health Service and
the incentives are the opposite, whatever system
America's got is that the NHS really wants fewer people to be sick so that their budget can stretch farther.
Yeah,
and America is like, we need to make more profit.
Well, specifically the hospitals, the medical industry.
Yeah.
America as a whole, like I say, I don't know. It depends on how the tax receipts
in America. Yeah.
But the medical industry itself is very, very specifically incentivized for having more patients and therefore more people who are ill is the sort of uncharitable way of viewing it.
Yeah. Not saying explicitly, I'm just pointing out the differences between the two.
The incentives are not good. The incentives are not set up well.
Exactly.
In the slightest.
Now, it's worth pointing out here before we go any further. I mean, I've pointed this out already that there's a lot of interesting stuff between the US and the UK because American sources seem to be super, super negative and they very plainly paint vaping as bad and harmful and claim that nicotine has numerous negative side effects. And British sources are just more neutral and point out that more research is needed and that they're not really discussing the harmful effects of nicotine because, as far as I'm aware, nicotine is harmful. Yes, obviously it can be harmful, but the nicotine is not the most harmful part of smoking, right? I mean, the addiction that you get from nicotine is, I think, harmful as hell. Like I'd say that's mega harmful, and we should talk about how addictive nicotine is, rather than, you know, what the American sort of sources that I've got are trying to do, which is talk about how harmful nicotine is because it can mess up your brain and make you more addicted when you're like, when you have it as a kid, and also, you know, it can affect your heart and all blah blah blah. And you shouldn't smoke if you've got heart issues because it can affect all of that sort of stuff, or if you've got asthma as well, obviously. But talking about nicotine as being bad purely from an addiction standpoint, I think is the best way to make that argument, because it being addictive is the worst part of it. Literally, that's the only reason that we're talking about all of this other stuff, is because nicotine is so addictive that it will make you smoke tar until you die of lung cancer just so you can have more nicotine, you know?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing as well. I think I can't remember if this is an NHS thing. I know I've heard people who work for the NHS talk about it. It may just be a general medical industry thing, or doctors or psychologists, that kind of thing. And the idea is that the best treatment is one that your patient's actually going to take. Mm-hmm. So even if you find out there's some small problems with nicotine as a molecule and its interaction with the human body, if it's still better for you to stop smoking and start vaping than it is for you to be told nicotine is dreadful and so you carry on smoking and don't even attempt vaping, that's a worse treatment. Yeah. Even if it would technically be a better treatment for you to not smoke or vape at all, if you're not going to do that reasonably, it's much better for you to be vaping.
Well, that's why the NHS like quite explicitly recommends you to vape to stop smoking.
Yeah.
In the same sense that the NHS is behind using nicotine patches and nicotine gum, because they're not saying no nicotine. They're saying use it in a more safe and less harmful way. In the same way that you've got like methadone clinics to get people off of heroin, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like
methadone being, you know, similar to heroin and using that to wean people off of it, you know, rather than just saying...
It really works.
It works. Yeah. Of course it works. Yeah, it's a bloody brilliant idea. Like, it's the best way to deal with addiction as a health issue rather than as like...
A moral issue.
Or an issue of justice, right? Or a criminal issue. It's just... Just give people the help that they need.
But where are you going to get your slaves, Corey?
Gosh, you're right. Okay, now scrap it. Send people to jail. Send them back to jail. You're right. Goodness me. If you want to understand what we're talking about, you could go check out After Dark on our Patreon, patreon.com/SciGuys. After Dark is another show that we do, kind of the sister show to this podcast. It's like this, but with less science, more politics and philosophy and all of that stuff. This is a reference to that. And also to the fact that prisoners are more or less slaves. Thank you. So some further health risks of vaping. It can affect immune function. All of the studies that I'm talking about, all the places that I've got this are down in the description. So it can affect immune function. And I can read out a bunch of words that none of us will understand. But
please.
That's most of the podcast.
Oh, really? Okay, fine. Okay. Exposure to e-liquids has been shown to cause immunological changes, resulting in significant derangements of the inflammasome, elevated macrophage numbers, and increased caspase expression, resulting in apoptosis. I did actually understand the majority of those words.
I got some of that. Not all of it.
I didn't get any of it.
There were like two.
The immune system. I understood that very well.
I did get that.
Direct mucociliary dysfunction has been demonstrated through a variety of mechanisms in both vitro and in vitro and in vivo models. And nicotine containing liquids have been shown to reduce ciliary beat frequency in human lung epithelial cells. Aerosolized e-liquids result in acquired cystic fibrosis, transmembrane conductance, regulator dysfunction, indirectly impairing mucociliary clearance, similar to combustible tobacco exposure.
That sounds dreadful.
I'm pretty sure that last sentence is saying that if you vape, you'll probably get that phlegmy situation that you've got with smoking tobacco.
Yes, really. Yeah.
No, I do understand what this is saying. Yeah. It's just I have to translate it in my brain. It's like such a pain sometimes.
Translate to English and back.
And then also respiratory harms associated with e-cigarettes include changes to the inflammasome, delayed mucociliary clearance, impaired pulmonary function, and histological alterations to the alveoli. Basically, using vaping can cause phlegm in your sort of throat. It can impair the function of your pulmonary system, so your heart, your circulatory system, and also it can change the alveoli, which is found in
lung trees.
Yeah, I was gonna say found in which organ? Yeah, your little bits inside your lung.
Lung trees.
Yeah, like the airbags. Now, the Canadian Lung Association says that vaping can make asthma and other existing lung diseases worse, and then breathing in chemicals from vaping products could cause irreversible lung damage if there's harmful chemicals in there. But obviously, if it's regulated and there aren't harmful chemicals allowed in there, then you know that's less the case. And in some cases, that could cause death. And some chemicals in vaping products could also cause cardiovascular disease and biological changes that are associated with cancer development. So essentially, there could be carcinogens in vaping products. Again, if they're tightly controlled and you sort of know what's in them, you can kind of mitigate that to some extent. But realistically, I want to be clear here. If you're smoking anything into your lungs that is not air or other prescribed medicine, you're harming your body.
The heating, even just the heating of something changes it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, people talk about smoking weed. You know, if you use papers or a bong or anything, it's good for you. Smoking anything is not
good for you.
Smoking anything. Look, okay.
The health benefits.
The health benefits of marijuana. There may be some, but it's not necessarily going to outweigh the damage that you do to your lungs from smoking something. You know, you probably should not smoke things. You should just breathe in air and whatever the doctor tells you to breathe in, you know? But yeah, there was also the issue of vaping-associated lung illness.
Sorry.
Or a shaman, yeah. There was also the issue of vaping-associated lung illness. So back in 2019, there was a massive, massive issue with vaping in the US. I think over 2,000 cases of vaping-associated lung injury in 49 states, which is everyone except for Alaska, and then also the District of Columbia, and also another U.S. territory. Those were all reported to the U.S. So over 2,000 cases of vaping-associated lung injury in every state except for Alaska and a few other places basically owned by the United States. And there was acute sort of pneumonia, acute respiratory distress syndrome, and hypersensitivity pneumonitis. Most people that had this had been vaping marijuana, THC vapes, and these were sort of black market vapes, and they had vitamin E acetate in them. You don't need to know what vitamin E acetate is, but essentially it can cause damage to you. It could cause this effect. And some people died from it. I don't know exactly how many deaths. Oh, 39 confirmed deaths there were. So yeah, in that sense, vaping can be dangerous, but in that case, it was because there was that additive in there. And as far as I'm aware, it's pretty much only found in bootleg or black market vapes, specifically ones that contain THC. Apparently, it's something that people use to cut it so they're not using as much THC in the vape. So that would be the danger there. So it's difficult, right? You know, there have been issues with vaping, but it's been per regulation. And that's not to say that vaping is itself incredibly safe. We do not know the long-term effects of vaping yet because it's only been around for less than 19 years, but not even in the entirety of that history has it been popular, right? Like, vaping kind of blew up in the past 5 years, I would say, right? Like, you know, blew up. People were vaping before that, but really, like, that was 2017, right? People were vaping.
You didn't have this, like, massive amounts of disposable vapes like we have now. Like, they're all over the streets. You see them just being discarded everywhere in the way that you used to see cigarette butts.
Yeah. And you didn't see vape shops, you know, shops specifically just for selling this because there wasn't really the market for it. You know, and a Public Health England says that vaping is 95% safer than smoking tobacco cigarettes. I've seen American sources that quote that and say, some people say that vaping is 95% safer than smoking tobacco cigarettes. It's really hard to get solid information out of this. There's some things that we don't know about vaping and severe lung disease. Like, it's unclear, like, how much vaping can lead to that, or, you know, who the highest risk groups are. There are other health risks of vaping, though. You know, like nicotine, for example, we've spoken about that, but you know, potential carcinogens, apparently, like, there's all of these sort of things. Also, explosions and burns, like your vape can.
Yes.
Like,
not
yes.
necessarily super common, but that's not something that can happen with a cigarette. Your cigarette is not going to go boom, you know? There's dangers in that. Accidental exposure to liquid from e-cigarettes has caused acute nicotine poisoning in children and adults. Put it this way. If your vape thing breaks, you're getting all of that vape at once. You know what I mean? Like, kids have accidentally drank it and stuff, you know, that sort of stuff. That's not to say that this isn't me trying to fearmonger, but this is what people talk about when they're when they say that vaping is dangerous. And all of these ones that I just read out, those were from Harvard, harvard.edu, or Harvard Health, I believe. And it's actually Harvard Health that called out Public Health England. They said, there appears to be ample evidence that vaping is not 95% less harmful than smoking, as some have claimed, which was Public Health England. This is what I'm saying.
Sick burn.
Look, it's really difficult to find the truth because there's lots of money involved. Tobacco companies are funneling money into vaping and advertising and all that stuff, and probably doing similar things to what, you know, to what they did with you, where they're commissioning documentaries on the dangers of smoking or how to quit smoking by vaping, which is just an ad for them.
I did not do that. I did not say yes.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, vaping hasn't been around for a long time either, which means we don't have long-term studies on it. And like that, just what did we learn nothing from smoking, where everyone all was started smoking and we were like, yes, smoke. It's very good. It's all very safe. And then suddenly everyone starts dying of lung cancer. Oh, why? Oh, well, it's the smoking. We found out that it was the smoking. Maybe wait. And just let's do some long-term studies on vaping rather than just hopping on it. Like, if you are using it as a tool to, you know, wean yourself off of tobacco, or, you know, wean yourself off of cigarettes to sort of fill that nicotine craving that you've got, go ahead, sure, fine. But, like, don't start vaping from nothing. That's just silly. Like, I'm sorry. It's a silly thing to do. and also, the drug information can be unreliable because it's muddied by bias against drug use, and then also muddied by bias for drug use, because drug users want good reasons to use drugs other than like I want to, you know. But people that don't want people to use drugs, like the US, go like insanely hard and say no, drug use bad. And vaping is generally it's safer than smoking. That's it, as far as we know now, it seems to be safer than smoking. We don't know the long-term health effects of it. You know, I'm not saying go out and vape. Vaping is by no means good for you, but it is less harmful for you than smoking at the current moment, as far as we're aware. But it's really odd that we use smoking as the benchmark for this, I think. It would make sense if vapes were only seen as, like, you know, if vapes came on the NHS and that was the only way that you could access them. That would make sense, as, you know, vaping is much safer than smoking. But why is smoking the benchmark when it doesn't need to... let's just look at vaping outside of smoking and say, is this good for you or not? Probably not all that great for you, right? And I generally believe, obviously, that drugs should be decriminalized and in some cases legalized, but I just cannot get behind nicotine as a drug at all, because it just... And smoking as well, because the main purpose of it just seems to be being addictive, right? There's no other effect that changes your mindset or outlook or experience, really. It just gets you addicted to it. And then you keep on doing that thing because you're addicted. And, you know, I believe that people should be allowed to do what they want. But in my experience, it seems that people don't use nicotine products for any reason other than they're addicted to them. Which is, if you want to get addicted to something, it's your right to get addicted. But I don't think it's fair for companies to go around getting people addicted to their product. Like, literally handing them out on the street so that they can make more money. Commissioning documentaries so that they can sanitize their new product that they're switching to because their old one has been killing people and they knew it. You know? It feels predatory. And if nicotine products, you know, were just stop being, like, were to stop being used altogether by just everyone, I can't imagine a huge impact on the world. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I'd imagine if people stopped drinking alcohol, there'd be a huge difference. If people stopped smoking marijuana, there'd be a difference. If people stopped using psychedelics, there'd be a difference, because all of those things could have a use, you know? Like, you know, alcohol is a social lubricant. Marijuana can be used to alleviate anxiety and, you know, for, again, social use as well. There's also psychedelics, which can be used to, you know, to help with certain mental health conditions with alongside, you know, sort of therapy and whatnot. So all of those ones seem to have a bloody use. You know what I mean?
Like, they actually do something.
They do a thing.
Yeah. No nicotine. One's taking nicotine because they like it when their blood pressure's a little bit higher.
And if you want your blood pressure to be a little bit higher, have some bloody caffeine instead. That's addictive too. You know what I mean? And don't even get me started on caffeine, because that's like a step down from nicotine on my list of like the drugs. Like,
my silly drugs.
Nicotine I hate. Caffeine I hate. The rest of them are like kind of somewhere there. Yeah. Like, yeah. Alcohol's up there. I really don't like the legal ones, mostly. You know? So I'm like, why did you pick, like, I feel like you can't outlaw alcohol because it's so easy to make, even accidentally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could accidentally end up with alcohol if you left some apple juice in your room for a bit. So they can't outlaw that. But the dangers of alcohol are massive. And smoking, we were so close to banning smoking. I very much think that people should be able to choose what they want to do. I get really tested on that when I think about smoking, because I'm like, we would probably be better off if we just banned it.
Talk at the moment about the UK making smoking illegal in any public place even if it's outside. So like,
I would prefer that.
Yeah, not smoking like just outside a pub or on the beach or things like that, where it is technically perfectly legal to smoke.
Well, that's honestly where I would go with it, because I don't think that, I think that people should be allowed to do what they want to do. But smoking, the main issue I have with smoking above, and that's another thing above all of those other drugs, is that you can drink alcohol and the alcohol doesn't have a secondary effect on someone else.
Slosh all over everyone else.
Yes. I mean, what you do, like, you don't just, lads, I'm going to have a beer. Yeah, I'll have a beer. You guys going to get 5% as drunk as I am from, like, you know, from my beer.
The fumes of my beer.
Yeah, my beer. Yeah, exactly. Secondhand drinking. But smoking, you know, genuinely harms the people around you.
Yeah.
We stopped them doing it inside. We pushed them, but like...
And now it seems like the most ridiculous thing that you would be able to smoke inside. It just seems bizarre.
You're allowed to smoke inside in casinos.
I remember that law coming in. I remember watching, as a child, I was watching like the news and seeing a report about smoking being banned inside. And how all these people were like up in arms and it was going to be an awful thing.
Yeah.
Now it just seems like the most obvious.
It's most normal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember going on holiday just after, around the time that was kind of brought in, and you were still allowed to smoke inside in some of those places. And it was very, like, the back and forth was very odd.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's a memory of mine. I'm not sure. But what I do actually distinctly remember is when I went to Vegas recently, you're allowed to smoke inside in the casinos there. And it's just
weird.
It's a very strange experience being inside and seeing people just smoke.
Smoking, yeah.
It's like, this is an outside
thing. Outdoor activity.
Do it
like seeing someone just like pissing in the middle of a room.
Yeah.
That's a toilet thing. What are you doing? What are you doing?
But yeah, look, honestly, I think that ultimately, yeah, we should ban smoking. Should only be something that you can do in the comfort of your own home. Should be probably very heavily regulated. Not on the front of people not being able to choose to do it, but on the front of companies making a profit off of getting someone addicted to something that's harmful to them.
You want to grow your own tobacco plant, then you do you.
Yeah.
But like somebody making a profit off of something that's pretty much arguably its only purpose is to make you buy more of it.
Yeah. No.
No,
doesn't work. Yeah.
Come on. If we're going to have like weed illegal, come on.
I mean, how about this? Like, it's like putting, okay, let's just take some nicotine and put it into whatever product we want. Nicotine containing candy bars. There we go. It's what cigarettes
are. I wonder
if
that's illegal.
I think it probably is illegal, otherwise we'd have done it already.
Well, that's insane.
I mean,
that's like
I would
such
imagine
a double standard.
Well, probably because you'd need to be 18 and up to do it, and people
Also because you're adding... Nicotine does naturally occur. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument, oh, I'm just selling tobacco, and it happens to have nicotine.
But then vapes.
They're not food,
I suppose. They're not food, so they're not consumable. Because you're breathing it in.
I don't know. Let's look into this. And we can start a line of products that specifically are so ridiculous that they're aiming to get themselves banned alongside cigarettes.
What's what we should do? That'd be a really fun project, to look for little loopholes in the law and then create
products
unbanned products.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if also it might be to do with the fact that you don't, because you're ingesting it, it takes a while for it to go into your system. Maybe it doesn't go into the system in the same concentration, or if you do eat it, it's been 20, 30 minutes and your brain might not make the association with, that was addictive and it's because, that felt nice, but it's because of this thing I ate 30 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, that makes
sense.
That
might
not
associate. Because like sugar isn't only like that, I assume, because it tastes nice.
Mm.
It doesn't get into your gut and then go into your bloodstream and then raise your blood sugar levels and your brain back associates that thing to 25 minutes ago.
It just tastes good, yeah.
It just tastes good, yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think, look, my conclusion on this is that vaping is not good for you. No, it isn't. It's better for you than smoking. But then I suppose, you know, I don't know. Being hit by a car is better for you than being hit by a bus. I'd rather not do either. Or let's put it this way. It's being hit by a bike is better than being hit by a train.
Yeah.
I still am not going to go stand in
why
the bike lane and wait.
Being hit by a train, the baseline.
Yeah. Why are we setting that there, guys? Like, I know some people are being hit by trains, but I feel like we should compare it to not being hit at all, right? Like that's where we should start from. But yeah, look, I mean, vaping, we don't know the long-term health effects of it yet. We know that it's not terribly good for you in the same sense as like bloody breathing anything in into your lungs that's not air or like specific medicine isn't going to be great for you. So if you've never smoked a cigarette in your life or you've never been a cigarette smoker, don't vape. Just do not do it because it's so pointless. You're just getting a good flavor. If you want to vape, get rid of the nicotine and just like vape without the nicotine, because at least then you're not addicted to it and you can probably stop it. You're still going to be harming your lungs probably, but at least you're not getting addicted to the thing that's harming your lungs. You know, it's just, it's just baffling to me that vaping has become such a craze, like such a trend. And it's just cigarette companies, like tobacco companies, finding another way to get people addicted to their product so they can continue to make money from those addicts. That's what it is. It's unbelievable, honestly. Unbelievable.
I would just like to add that vaping is not a personality trait.
Oh.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I think we're all up for that one.
So I guess
it's not. But I mean, we're particularly susceptible to that as kids, is yeah. like having a thing that is your thing that you're yeah, sort of yeah. known for, or you're fitting yeah. in with other people because of a common thing that you do, mm. And that comes from sometimes from a place of not totally knowing who you are, so you substitute that lack of personality, like so clear mm. idea of your own personality, with an activity that kind of gets you to bond with people. And also, we've talked about in the past, Jamp, about how workplaces, and we've talked about this, but workplaces specifically incentivize mm-hmm. going out drinking and going out smoking in yeah. order to bond with your yeah. manager yeah. in order to get promotions. And that and that's because of like these bonds that you form with people. But you form bonds over real personality traits. Don't form bonds over like who you see in the smoking area.
Yeah.
Or even better, actually, would be potentially good for workplaces. Maybe promote people based on how good they are at their job.
That's a crazy idea.
But if I can't promote someone based on whether or not they're a man or a woman, is what am I promoting them based on, huh?
Merit.
Yeah. Don't know her.
I think if you don't understand that, you need to give your job to someone else.
She's definitely not getting promoted with that merit.
Merit, poor performance.
Yeah, no, look, vaping, there are not many studies now that, you know, show incredibly negative long-term health effects from vaping, right? But vaping hasn't been around for very long. And I just think when it comes to, you know, sort of risk analysis, looking at what happened with smoking, it makes sense to just not vape
yeah.
unless you use it as a tool to, you know, wean yourself off of nicotine. I just think that makes the most sense. Like, just maybe you avoid it, because people vape so much. It's so readily accessible. It's so easy. It's not like a shisha. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a shisha pen, but it's not like where you got to sit down and do a thing or go to a little shisha bar and have that. It's not quite like that. It's just something you can have in your pocket at all times. And if you do vape, consider trying to stop it. And if you don't vape, don't start it. And if you smoke, try and switch to vaping and then try stopping. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, vaping, is it super dangerous and bad for your health? At this point, there's not really enough evidence to say that. We know that it can have some negative health effects. We know that it is better for you than smoking. But as we said, smoking is not the best benchmark here. So, should you vape? Probably not. Nah.
But should you smoke? Even more not.
Definitely. Smoking is dumb. And look, I'm saying this having smoked cigarettes before in my life. Smoking is dumb. Don't do it. It's just the dumbest thing.
They don't even taste good. Nah. Like, at least vapes like come with nice flavors. You
gotta
smoke
a good number of times before you enjoy smoking. Mm-hmm. Like, before your brain is like, oh, this cool feeling is because of this horrible thing.
Yeah.
Okay, it's nice now. It's not horrible. It's nice, good. I like it now. You know? But that is it from us. Before we finish, why don't we do a little quick fire quiz?
Dun, 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 dun.
Nicotine edition.
So, the rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I will ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finishing the question wins. What do they win, Jamp?
One little vape.
No.
No.
Oh, sorry. 1 year of sobriety.
Very good. Luke, what is your buzzer? Jamp, what is your buzzer? The question is, when was the first e-cigarette invented? Oh, Jamp, I think you got that one.
2003.
Bingo, that Whoa. Is it. Well done. And with that, I think it's the end of the show. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Danito and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find a contact at SciGuys Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
I'm not Corey everywhere.
I'm Jamkin everywhere.
I'm not. I'm Luke Cutford everywhere.
I'm not. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.